RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Police check Pawoso comings and goings amid Operation Tinombala. Transjakarta received disabled-friendly bus. Former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono received an honorary doctorate degree from ITB. Now the news in detail. Police check. The Poso police were conducting spot checks of people and vehicles entering and leaving the city on Sunday as part of an intensified operation to hunt Indonesia's most wanted terrorist, Santoso. Police officers were deployed across Poso Pesisir sub-district amid Operation Tinombala, a joint Indonesian military or TNI and police operation. Santoso leads the East Indonesia Mujahideen or MIT group, 45 members of which are believed be hiding in local forests. The checks are to find any members of the group attempting to infiltrate Poso. Poso Police Chief Adjunct Surgeon Commissioner Roni Suseno said on Sunday. Despite the step up in the cooperation and related security checks, a suspected bomb was found in the city's Kowua sub-district on Sunday morning. Eyewitnesses told the Jakarta Post .com that unknown parties had arrived in two cars and placed a black backpack containing the bomb at the side of the road in front of residence house. Poso Police Gegana Bomb Disposal Unit safely exploded the bomb on Sunday afternoon. PT Transjakarta received one unit of tour bus from a cooperation with PT Sumber Alfaria Trijaya TBK Alfamart. The bus has been modified for the disabled and will start its operation on Monday, January 25, 2016. The Jakarta's government likes the bus because the bus has been facilitated for the disabled, said Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama on Monday, January 25, 2016. Basuki has been calling on private companies to participate in helping Jakarta administration to add and accelerate service in tourism aspect. A double-decker tour bus with capacity of 69 passengers is priced at 3,922 billion rupiah. The bus is disabled-friendly since it is completed with folded seats, said Alfamart Corporate Affairs Director Solihin. He hopes that the tour bus may help Jakarta administration in promoting and developing its tourism objects. PT Transjakarta will manage the operational and the maintenance. President Director of PT Transjakarta Budi Kaliwono has welcomed the grand well. This is good for improving Transjakarta service to the tourists. Bandung-based Institute of Technology ITB has bestowed an honorary doctorate degree on Indonesia's sixth President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Yudhoyono happy as the conferment of the honorary doctorate degree took place after he is no longer a president, so it will be free from undue comments and scorns. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono made the remarks before delivering a scientific speech at the hall of the ITB campus Bandung on Monday that if the honorary doctorate degree was bestowed when he still held a presidential post, the good intentions of the ITB would be subject to suspicion and speculation from certain parties. During the open ITB session, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono delivered his scientific oration titled The Contribution of Green Economy to Sustainable Development. ITB Deputy Director for Alumni, Communication and General Administration Affairs, Dr. Miming Miharja, had earlier noted that the honorary doctorate degree was awarded by the ITB as a mark of its appreciation for the former president's contributions to science and the pattern of thought on sustainable development. Indonesian Corporation and Small Medium Enterprises Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga visited Marketers Creativity Day Expo of Creative Products in Smesco Building, Jakarta. He emphasized that creative industry has a big chance in the digital economy era. Moreover, economy expert Sri Adiningsih said that Indonesia owns many creative products in the ASEAN economic community. Only the marketing is still the problem. She even boosts women to create business and promote their products through social media in internet. Sri also calls on the people to use Indonesian origin products. Initiator of Gallery Indonesia WOW or WOW, Herman Kertajaya said that Marketers Creativity event will be held on monthly basis. The expo is expected to inspire creative business in Indonesia in the wake of ASEAN Economic Community. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Communication and Information Ministry said that it would focus on developing local game industry. The government is going to pay more attention to local game industry because it has big potentials. This industry will be bigger than film industry, said Bambang Heru Cahyono, Director General of Information Application of the Ministry in Jakarta recently. According to Bambang, Indonesia is the second biggest game application market in Southeast Asia, with the investment growth reaching 47%. However, players of local game industry only dominate 10% of the market share. Contribution of local developers is only 1.2%, and Indonesia hopes it can reach 50%. Bambang also said that one of the obstacles that hinder the development of players of local game industry is the fact that there is no integrity between local developers and local publishers. Bambang predicted that the number of local game industry players would decline in 2019 if the government does not work with stakeholders of the game industry. Indonesian food, music, and dance were on display at the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland this week, and the more than 500 guests lapped it all up. A joint effort between the government and the private sector, the WEF's Indonesia Night was one of the highlights of this year's gathering. Guests were treated to authentic Indonesia food from various parts of the country. The event was supported by Lippo Group, Gajah Tunggal, Bakri Group, and the Sinarmas Group in partnership with the Trade Ministry and the Foreign Ministry of Indonesia. Davos is a great platform to show the world that Indonesia has a vibrant and rich culture. Meanwhile, Gandhi Sulistyo, the managing director of the Sinarmas Group, told Jakarta Globe that his group was happy to support the event. Lippo Group director John Riadi also echoed to sentiment, noting that Indonesia Night was a great way to bring some Indonesian warmth and hospitality to the cold in Davos. Now, in its fourth year, Indonesia Night has grown to become one of the main side events at Davos. Many other nations also host their own cultural evenings. The last item, Indonesia's leading internet service and network provider, BizNet, aims to support technology-savvy people in the latest online movie trends amid growing usage of smartphones and internet. President Director of BizNet Networks, Adi Kusma, said the company sees that internet users had shifted in line with internet technology development. The customers need bigger bandwidth to access over-the-top contents using interesting applications through their smartphones. The domestic internet providers, he said, are challenged to give optimal service to their customers to enjoy movies, TV series, and music through internet connections from domestic or foreign providers. The company sees this change as a significant thing that can push BizNet to provide the best internet connection so that all internet users no longer have to experience broken, lagging or buffering connections while watching movies or doing other activities online. BizNet Internet and Cable TV also aims to expand its service from the current 70 cities spread in Java, Bali, and Sumatra Island. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Police check Poso comings and goings amid Operation Tinombala. Transjakarta received disabled-friendly bus. Former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono receives honorary doctorate degree from IITB. That was the news. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Indonesia's Seriousness in Fighting Terrorism and Drug Trafficking. Lately, the plan to revise the law on the eradication of terrorism is in the spotlight. The Indonesian government has put forward a revision of Law No. 15/2003. The House of Representatives has also put in on the list of 40 national legislation projections in 2016 targeted to be completed this year. All are certainly not without reason, especially after the bomb attacks by terrorists in Jakarta on January 14th. Chairman of the Working Committee of the National Legislation Projections 2016, Firman Subagio, said the revision of the Terrorism Act is important because so far it has not accommodated the use of modern technology in the fight against terrorism. The development of terrorism today is not only driven from the country but also from abroad. Therefore, the eradication effort requires the support of modern technology. Firman Subagio said the revision of the legislation on terrorism will be followed by revised drug laws. Terrorism and drugs trafficking, two things which have become a serious concern of the Indonesian government today. Both are a threat to the Indonesian life. The National Narcotics Agency said, up to November 2015, approximately 5.9 million people have become drug users. More than 27% are young people. In line with this, terrorist groups are also targeting the youth to become followers. Terrorism and drugs are considered to have a strong connection. There are indications that some terrorist acts were financed from the sale of drugs. Seeing this linkage, it is hoped that the revision of the two laws could be immediately verified and launched into law. Later, this law will be a legal framework for all parties concerned to combat terrorism and drug trafficking. Thus, the number of terrorism followers and drug users does not continue to grow. The young generation can be protected so that they won't be easily lured into being followers of terrorism and radicalism or drug users. The government is expected to be followed by all elements of the Indonesian people to jointly combat terrorism and drugs trafficking. Listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on January 25th, 1979, when Iranian people held a massive demonstration. The Iranian Revolution, also known as the Islamic Revolution or 1979 Revolution, refers to the events involving the overthrow of Pahlavi dynasty under Muhammad Reza Shah Pahlavi and its eventual replacement with an Islamic Republic under the Grand Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the leader of the revolution, supported by various leftist and Islamic organizations as well as the Iranian students' movements. Demonstrations against the Shah commenced in October 1977, developing into a campaign of civil resistance that included both secular and religious elements, and escalated in January 1978. Between August and December 1978, strikes and demonstrations paralyzed the country, the Shah left Iran for exile on January 16, 1979, as the last Persian monarch, leaving his duties as a regency council and an opposition-based prime minister. Ayatollah Khomeini was invited back to Iran by government and returned to Tehran to a greeting by several million Iranians. The royal reign collapsed shortly on February 11th when the guerrillas and rebel troops overwhelmed the Shahloi's troops in the armed street fighting, bringing Khomeini to official power. Iran voted by a national referendum to become an Islamic Republic on April 1, 1979, and to approve a new theocratic Republican constitution, whereby Khomeini became the supreme leader of the country in December 1979. The next event was in 2006, when Sudarmono passed away. Sudarmono was Indonesia's fifth vice president. After the Dutch retreated in 1949, Sudarmono completed his secondary education before going to Jakarta in 1952 to join the Military Law Academy. He completed the course in 1956 before serving in Medan or Sumatra as an army attorney from 1957 until 1961. Then, in 1962, Sudarmono received his degree in law after completing a course at Military Law University. After that, Sudarmono was appointed chairman of the Central Government Personnel Orders Units and provided administrative assistance to the government. During the Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation, President Sukarno formed the Supreme Operations Command, or KOTI, which is a war directly led under Sukarno's control. In 1963, Sudarmono joined the Supreme Operations Command and was appointed as a member of Joint Central Operations for the Supreme Operations. In 1980, Sudarmono was elected the State Secretary. Then, in 1988, Sudarmono was elected as Indonesian Vice President. As the Vice President of Indonesia, Sudarmono was extremely active. He regularly visited the provinces and set up Mailbox 5000, a place where the people could send their suggestions and complaints to the government. Sudarmono, who once was the specialist in giving administrative assistance, was also assigned by the former President Suharto to supervise the government bureaucracy. In the end, Sudarmono passed away on January 25, 2006. He was buried at Kalibata Hero Cemetery in Jakarta. And listener, the last event was in 2010 when Ethiopian Airlines Flight 409 plunged into the Mediterranean Sea. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 409 was an international commercial flight scheduled from Beirut to Addis Ababa that plunged into the Mediterranean Sea shortly after taking off from Rafik Hariri International Airport on January 25, 2010, killing all 90 people on board. And this was the first crash for Ethiopian Airlines since the hijack of Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961 in 1996. Well, listener, that was the day in history.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on Indonesia managed to pass 8th resolution at the 24th annual session of APPF. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The Indonesian delegation to the annual session of the Asia-Pacific Parliamentary Forum, APPF, had from January 17 to 22 in Vancouver, Canada, successfully passed 8 resolutions from a total of 27 resolutions agreed at a meeting on politics and security, economy and trade and cooperation in the Asia-Pacific region. The 8 resolutions are intended to strengthen parliamentary cooperation in Asia-Pacific related to current issues such as the stability in the region, transnational organized crimes, anti-corruption, and women's empowerment. Related to transnational organized crimes, or TOC, the resolution had also emphasized the importance of public awareness and preventive measures against illegal, unreported, and unregulated, or IUU, fishing. In the forum, the host Canada expressed sympathy and condolences on the recent terrorist bombing incident that occurred in Jakarta. Meanwhile, head of Indonesian delegation, Deputy House Speaker Fadli Zon, at the first session of the plenary session of the 24th APPF in Canada, said that as a democratic country, Indonesia had been successful in implementing the regional head general elections, which was the first in the world held in unison in December 2015. He also said that incidents such as the terror in Jakarta some time ago will not be able to beat unity and democracy in Indonesia. While on the issue of migrant workers, Indonesia has disagreements with Singapore regarding the resolution of cross-border workers. As a country that has been sending migrant workers, Indonesia wants the resolution to be made strictly so that each receiving country will ensure legal protection and social security of migrant workers. In a different session, Indonesia managed to convince the delegates of other countries that terrorism, including Daesh or the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, has nothing to do with the teachings of Islam. Another point discussed was the diplomatic and peaceful settlement of disputes in the South China Sea. According to Justin Irene Roba Putri, member of the Indonesian delegation, Indonesia wants all the countries involved exercise restraint and not exacerbate the conflict. In this regard, Indonesian delegation argued long enough with the Chinese delegate who insisted on continuing the reclamation of a number of islands they claim as their territory. Meanwhile, on different occasions, Indonesian Ambassador to Canada Teuku Faisasya said the presence of Indonesian delegation in the 24th APPF annual session, as well as bilateral meetings with the Parliament of Canada, as a tremendous boost for the strengthening of bilateral relations between Indonesia and Canada. In addition, Indonesia has also successfully pushed the initiative for the regular meeting of women parliamentarians in the next APPF meeting. The joint communique of the 24th APPF also explicitly emphasized the importance of increasing the participation and leadership of women in the legislative process in all member countries of APPF, which has been championed by Indonesia. Well, that was Focus today on Indonesia managed to pass 8 resolutions at the 24th annual session of APPF. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here are some headlines on newspaper published in Jakarta today and Monday, January 25, 2016. While we begin from Kompas newspaper, in its headline, Kompas writes Indonesia is affected by disaster. Indonesia has been already affected by climate change with rising temperatures ranging from 0.16 to 1.44 degrees Celsius. Drought in some regions also brings about uncertainty of the first season to plant paddy this year. Climate change also marks the case of climate patterns in Indonesia. Head of the Oceanography Department of Marine Science and Technology, Bogor Agricultural University, Alan Koropitan, said on Saturday that undoubtedly climate change has occurred. The impact has occurred slowly so that it is not realized. The impact of climate change is apparent. Take, for example, there are increasing frequency and strength of tropical cyclones. Previously, the storm didn't hit the tropical country like Indonesia. Director of the Center for Climate Risk and Opportunity Management for Southeast Asia and Pacific, Rizaldi Boer, affirmed that global warming and climate change make climate patterns clouded, so it's difficult for farmers to determine the planting season. We move to Media Indonesia newspaper. It writes, "Stop driving away members of Gavatar." After hundreds of former followers of the Fajar Nusantara movement or Gavatar were forced to go away from some areas in West Kalimantan, Ahmadis in Bangka, Bangka Belitung also experienced the same case. State is requested to stop such incident and protect all the people regardless religion and belief. Driving away Gavatar's former members of West Kalimantan occurred early last week. In addition, the mass also set fire to their houses. The unresolved issue of Gavatar Ahmadis in Bangka Belitung had been also driven away from their homes in Kampung Srimenanti, Sungai Liat, Bangka Belitung. Ironically, the expulsion was confirmed by a letter issued by the district government of Bangka. Head of the Division of Civil and Political Rights Defense Contras, Putri Kanasya, said that her side had received a letter from Chai concerning the expulsion. She condemned the attitude of Bangkok Regency Administration not to protect its residents. Coordinator of the Commission for Mission Person and Violence, Haris Ashar, reminded the expulsion of the residents because different beliefs had often occurred. Thus, the central government must seriously ensure that all citizens have to be protected. Well, listener, we come to an end with Tempo newspaper. In its headline, Tempo writes, government assessed to be against human rights. A number of agencies assessed that the measures taken by the Indonesian government to repatriate members of Gapater in West Kalimantan are violations of human rights. The actions which had been taken since last Friday is also considered to be against the law which guarantees the right of every citizen of Indonesia to live anywhere in the country. Coordinator of the Commission for Missing Persons and Violence, Haris Ashar, had a similar view. He referred to human rights law and the ratification law of civil and political rights. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspaper published today on Monday, 25th of January, 2016. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. The postal police were conducting spot checks of people and vehicles entering and leaving the city on Sunday as part of an intensified operation to hunt Indonesia's most wanted terrorist, Santoso. Police officers were deployed across Poso Pesisir Sub-District amid Operation Tinombala, a joint Indonesian military, or TNI, and police operation. PT Transjakarta received one unit of tour bus from a cooperation with PT Sumber Alfaria Trijaya TBK Alfamart. The bus has been modified for the disabled and start its operation on Monday, January 25, 2016. The Jakarta's government likes the bus because the bus has been facilitated for the disabled. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said on Monday, January 25, 2016. The Bandung-based Institute of Technology ITB has bestowed an honorary doctorate degree on Indonesia's sixth President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Yudhoyono happy as the conferment of the honorary doctorate degree took place after he is no longer a president, so it will be free from undue comments and scorns. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono made the remarks before delivering a scientific speech at the hall of the ITB campus Bandung on Monday that if the honorary doctorate degree was bestowed when he still held the presidential post, the good intentions of the ITB would be subject to suspicion and speculation from certain parties. Indonesian Corporation and Small Medium Enterprises Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga visited Marketers Creativity Day Expo of Creative Products in Smesco Building, Jakarta. He emphasized that creative industry has a big chance in the digital economy era. Moreover, economy expert Sri Adiningsi said that Indonesia owns many creative products in the ASEAN economic community, only the marketing is still the problem. The Indonesian Communication and Information Ministry said that it would focus on developing local game industry. The government is going to pay more attention to local game industry because it has big potentials. This industry will be bigger than film industry, said Bambang Heru Cahyono, Director General of Information Application of the Ministry in Jakarta. Indonesian food, music, and dance were on display at the annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland this week, and more than 500 guests lapped it all up. A joint effort between the government and the private sector, the WEF's Indonesia Night was one of the highlights of this year's gathering. Indonesia's leading internet service and network provider, BizNet, aims to support technology-savvy people in the latest online movie trends amid growing usage of smartphones and internet. President Director of BizNet Networks, Adi Kusuma, said the company sees that internet users had shifted in line with internet technology development. That was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Lempur Tourism Village in Jambi Province, Sumatra. Stay tuned. Jambi has tourism destination with nature and culture that is still well preserved and maintained. One of its villages is Lempur Village. This village is surrounded by beautiful hills and mountains. This village is located in Kerinci Regency. As a tourism village, Lempur has its own uniqueness compared to other villages. This village has 5 lakes with different characteristics, and 80% of the village belongs to Seblat Kerinci National Park area and traditional forest with received Kalpataru 2015 Environment Award. Every lake has different color and different kinds of fish. Those lakes are Keti, Duo, Nyalo, and Lingkat. Listeners, if you want to visit Lempur Tourism Village, this village offers ecotourism tour package to travel to those lakes, which become favorite destinations visited by domestic and foreign tourists. In the tour package, tourists can travel to those lakes in 3 or 5 days. Through this expedition, you can witness the uniqueness of those lakes. For example, Kato Lake is located at an altitude of 1,289 meters above the sea level, and it is not quite big. This lake is only 30 times 30 meter wide. It is unique because it has blue color, so it is very contrast with the color in surrounding areas. Kato Lake has very clear water, so you can see thousands of fish in it. Listeners, besides being rich in beautiful nature and having unique lakes, Lempur Tourism Village also has historical destinations. This village has ancient sites, fortress, and ancient mosque. The place mostly visited by tourists is Lempur Mudik site, which is located at Cempaka Tunggal Hamlet, Lempur Mudik Village, Gunung Raya Subdistrict, Kerinci Regency, Jambi Province. This site is located at the Ridge Field with an altitude of 980 meters above the sea level, about 300 meters from Lumpur River flow. This site is made from andesite stone and it has a shape like a cannon. The local people call this stone with a cannon stone. Listeners, if you visit Lumpur Village, you will be able to see various interesting and unique traditional performances. The local people will perform various traditional dances and ceremonies to celebrate important events, such as harvest time or installing a region. To welcome the guests, usually the local people will dance Tauf dance. This dance is also performed during harvest or festivity. This dance is performed by men and women in pairs. Tauf dance is accompanied by tambourine, gong and classical song, which is called mantun. This song tells about villagers' life, love, tradition, etc. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, I'm Hernita, feature a topic entitled Kursus Setir Mobil, which in English means Driving Car Course. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Kursus. Kursus, which means courses. Menyetir. Menyetir, which means driving a car. Mendaftar. Mendaftar, which means to register. Kursus setir mobil. Kursus setir mobil, which means driving car courses. Dekat. Dekat, which means near or close to. Pasar. Pasar, which means market. Baru. Baru, which means new. Biaya. Biaya, which means cost. Lima kali. Lima kali, which means five times. Pertemuan. Pertemuan, which means meeting. 250.000 rupiah. 250.000 rupiah, which means 250,000 rupiah. SIM or surat izin mengemudi. SIM or surat izin mengemudi, which means driver's license. Membayar. Membayar, which means to pay. Tergantung. Tergantung, which means depend on. Orang lain. Orang lain, which means other person. Pergi bersama. Pergi bersama, which means going together.
Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Cursus Stiermobil, or in English means driving car courses. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ani in front of the house. A. Nita: Ani, kamu mau kemana? Ani, kamu mau kemana? Which means, Ani, where are you going? B. Ani: Saya mau mendaftar kursus setir mobil. Saya mau mendaftar kursus setir mobil. Which means, I want to register myself for driving car courses. Di dekat pasar, ada tempat kursus setir mobil baru. Di dekat pasar, ada tempat kursus setir mobil baru. Which means, there is a new driving car course near the market. Biaya untuk 5 kali pertemuan, Rp250.000. Biaya untuk 5 kali pertemuan, Rp250.000. Which means, 5 time practices cost Rp250.000. Untuk mendapatkan surat izin mengemudi, harus membayar lagi. Untuk mendapatkan surat izin mengemudi, harus membayar lagi. Which means, you have to pay more to get a driver license. Saya harus bisa menyetir mobil. Saya harus bisa menyetir mobil. Which means, I must be able to drive a car. Supaya tidak tergantung pada orang lain. Supaya tidak tergantung pada orang lain. Which means, so that I do not depend on other persons. A. Nita: Mari kita pergi bersama. Mari kita pergi bersama. Which means, let us go together. Saya juga mau pergi ke pasar. Saya juga mau pergi ke pasar. Which means, I also want to go to the market. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition, I'll present to Indonesian keroncong singer, Toto Salmon. Let's enjoy the first song by Toto Salmon entitled Ariati to initiate today's segment of Music Corner. Happy listening. You've just listened to the song Aryati by Toto Salmon. Although it is an old song, the song Aryati is still nicely to be enjoyed. The song Aryati was composed by Ismail Marzuki in the struggling era of Indonesian independence. The song also tells about admiration for a woman, but the love is broken, just merely wishful. The women just come in the dream. Toto Salmon began his singing and music career by dedicating Seriosa songs in 1960s. Toto joined in the Teenager Dance Club, or TNC, that also brought pop songs. He then tried to sing Kroncong. He was concerned because Kroncong was not interested by young generation. After he followed a Kroncong festival, Toto finally tend to perform Kroncong genre in every performances. Listener, now let's listen to a song, Bandar Jakarta, by Toto Salmon.
Thank you. The song Bandar Jakarta tells about the beauty of Jakarta city from different sides, such as the beauty of the coast or beach of Jakarta at dusk, the flurry of society, to make Jakarta as a city that never goes to sleep. Listener, during his music career, Toto Salmon has got many achievements, such as Anugerah Musik Indonesia or Indonesian Music Award for the best traditional Kroncong album in 1998, a legendary Kroncong Singer Award from Mayor of West Jakarta in 2002, as well as an award of Creative Kroncong Orchestra from Aspindo in 2004. Therefore, Toto Salmon is very worthy to get the title of Kroncong Music Maestro in addition to Gesang. A well-known Indonesian writer, Taufik Ismail, said, "Toto Salmon is a singer that come popularize beautiful and legendary songs in Kroncong music genre in the country." Listener, before we conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two songs by Toto Salmon entitled Kroncong Moritzkau and Kroncong Sapulidi. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.